Okay, well, welcome back, friends. I don't know about what you shared about what you're thankful for, but I'm thankful that my hairdresser, after being AWOL for weeks and months, actually left me a voicemail this week saying, hey, I'm in this new place. You guys should come by. So I'm grateful that I won't be having that 70s show look for much longer. Hopefully this week we'll get that taken care of. So, and then you'll all be grateful for that as well come next Sunday. So we're continuing on in 1 John, and before we get there, you see a comic on your screen. I'll read it for you in case you can't read it or can't see it, but it's Peanuts, and Lucy is talking to Linus, and Lucy says, you a doctor? Ha, that's a big laugh. You could never be a doctor. You know why? Because you don't love mankind. That's why. And Linus responds, I love mankind. It's people I can't stand. Now, I am afraid that some of us resonate with that more than we would like to admit. I mean, that's why they made a comic out of it, because we get this, right? That it's easy to love humanity. It's hard to love individuals sometimes. And John knew that, and that's why John wrote his letter. Or as I will remind you, it's probably more like a sermon. But let's start by let's get back into our text. We're in 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to be at verse 3. Lord, you say that you will illumine the minds through your Holy Spirit, and I pray that you would be working right now to illumine our minds, to make this text applicable and relevant and comprehensible to us in a way that it would not be if you were not present and active. Have your way. Amen. This is what John says in 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 3, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have received or you've heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. And here it is. Anyone who claims to be in the light, but hates a brother or a sister, is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them that makes them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going, because the darkness has blinded them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is nothing new. Right? This is, as John says, this is an old command. And in a sense, this is an old sermon. This is something you've heard so many times that you will be very, very tempted to just click off or tune out. And I get it. I'm with you. And yet at the same time, John says, I know you've heard this before, and here it is again. So I know you've heard this before, friends. And here it is again. It's an old command that is now new again, because we need to be told it again. Because as John will say, we've seen it most clearly now in Christ. Christ was acting out an old command, and it came into focus in Christ. And churches need it more than ever. Church would be easy if it weren't for the people, right? I remember a couple of years ago, I was at the North American Baptist Triennial Conference in Edmonton, and we were just having this amazing worship time. The band that was playing was from Central Baptist in Edmonton, and they just had this fantastic worship set, and they were playing Be Thou My Vision, and Be Thou My Vision is one of my absolute favorite songs to worship to, and these guys were just doing an impeccable job with it. Like, it was just fantastic. I mean, they even had violins in there. It was awesome. Like, I've never heard Be Thou My Vision as good as that was. And they did it a couple of times throughout the conference that weekend. And the second time they did it, I was so excited because they'd done it once already a couple of days earlier. And when they get to doing it again, I'm so grateful I get to worship you to this song again. And then the guy behind me, now this is like 900 people. And so I have apparently picked the place in front of the one guy in the place who decides to bust out a harmonica and try to accompany the amazing band at the front with his harmonica, be thou my vision. Like, it was like nails on a chalkboard, my friends. Like, it was terrible. It was awful. This was not worship. It was the opposite. And it was bringing out a whole bunch of things in me that were anything but worshipful. So, you know, that's just one example of how we bump up against one another in the church, right? And this is just a constant thing that we have to learn once again to love one another. The guy behind me needed to learn how to love people, but I also needed to learn how to love him as well. And I'm still working through that a little bit, I guess, as you can see. But it's easy to love mankind, and it's hard to love that person, right? The one behind you, the one that's irritating you. And so we once again need to be reminded of the obvious. Because we constantly bump up against one another in the church. And before long, we have grudges. And before long, we have bitterness. And before long, there are just things that are unresolved among us. And we need God, once again, to be at work among us, reminding us that we need to learn how to show love. So let's put it to the test a little bit. Is there anyone that comes to mind that you think our church would be better off without? Is there anyone that comes to mind that you really hope when we go into discussion groups, that person will not be in your discussion group? Is there anyone who, if you saw them on the screen and they were sharing a story or praying a prayer, you would sigh or roll your eyes or fold your arms or scowl? What do you think? Maybe it's not an individual. Maybe there's ongoing, lingering frustration over something, a decision that council's made, or something that a team did or didn't do, or a pastor did or didn't do, or a staff member who may not even be here anymore, or a council that made a decision 6 years ago or 8 years ago. We don't even have that council anymore, but that frustration still lingers with you. Maybe it's resentment about something. Maybe it's something different. Maybe it's like you've offered advice or you've tried to help in some particular way and that wasn't received in the way that you wanted. And so now you're upset about, hey, I'm an expert here in this, or I could do this really well and I wasn't given that opportunity and now I feel disrespected or something like that. Honestly, friends, I wrestle with that every single week because frankly, I went to school for this. I do it on a regular basis. And then sometimes I put a lot of work into it and then someone's like, nah. And you're like, okay, I have to deal with my own pride issues there, right? That in the end, it's not about me, right? But I get it. So if you felt like that because of something that, you know, we as a church did or didn't do because of something maybe you offered, you know, I get it. I'm with you. I'm working through it too. But John talks about needing to love one another through these things, through this awkward dynamic of working out how to love one another when we actually get closer and then we bump up against one another because we're really, really passionate about God and how to serve him and how to worship him well and how to serve our neighborhood and how to disciple and so on. And we get, oh, like, we just got to do this. We just got to do this. And whoa, have I put my passion for this ahead of actually showing love? This is an ongoing thing that we are going to wrestle with, which is why John reminds us, we got to figure this thing out, friends. We got to walk in the light. And interestingly here, walking in the light, John says, means showing love. And he says, in fact, walking in the darkness means hating your brother or your sister. If you actually read through that text again, he draws a parallel between light and darkness, love and hate. So light being love, hate being darkness, darkness being hate. So if we're not walking in love, it's actually an expression of hate. John just, like I said, remember this is a sermon, and John just, he's punchy and he has no gray in him at all. There's no neutral ground for John. In his sermon, he says, if it doesn't look like love, it's hate. And so we as Christians, we do this really interesting thing sometimes. I've noticed this in myself. I've noticed this in other people as well. But we know that as Christians, hatred, that's wrong. We shouldn't hate anyone. So what we end up doing is we wrap hatred in different language in order to excuse ourselves. And so we'll talk about bitterness or resentment or disdain maybe, or just withholding unforgiveness. We don't actually realize that all of those for John would qualify as hatred, would qualify as not showing love, not walking in the light. And then sometimes what we'll do is we'll go one step further and we'll try to wiggle our way out of even that language. And we'll say, it's not that I'm really bitter or really, I've been frustrated for like 7 years, right? Or I'm not resentful. I have to avoid that topic. I can't go there with certain people. Or I don't disdain that person. It's more of just like a personality conflict. That's what I think it is. We're just the opposites, right? And we let ourselves off the hook that way. Or we'll say, it's not that I'm unforgiving exactly. It's just that I was really, really hurt, and I have a hard time forgetting that, and I have trouble letting things go. Naturally, I'm just a person that doesn't really let things go really easily. You know, does that resonate with you at all? Like, I'm preaching to myself here, man. I come up with these examples because I look at my own life, right? So, I mean, I've noticed this about myself. In fact, I've noticed that over the years, as Chantal and I have walked through what marriage looks like, inevitably you bump up against one another and there's conflict. And I've always been the one that's had the most difficulty letting anything go. And I'll just tell you right now, that is an expression of pride. But I'm not going to get into that this morning. I'll just let you know that that's what that is. So let's get back to John. Let's sort of ask John, like, John, how would you view these things? Like, John, does 7 years of frustration, whether we call that bitterness or not, does that look like love and light, John? What do you think John's answer would be? John, does avoiding certain people or certain topics, does that look like love and light? John, Does playing that personality conflict card, does that sound like an excuse to you, John? Does that sound like love or light? John, does withholding unforgiveness because we have trouble letting things go, does that sound like love and light to you? I think we're going to wrestle with John's answer. Let me show you what one person said as they were looking at this particular passage. This is a commentator, Presbyterian scholar by the name of Karen Jobes. And here's what she says. Just as darkness is the absence of light, hate is the absence of love. To hate a fellow believer need not involve animosity or violence towards them. In John's thought, it means the failure to love. That's it. We hate anyone for whom we have not been able to show them love. Anytime we have failed to show love, John would call it hate. As I was thinking about this, you know, sometimes you say, like, you feel like you're wriggling on a hook when you've just been caught. As I was thinking about this message, the picture that came to mind was sort of kindergarten, where there are all of those hooks outside of the classroom door. And I pictured all of us just equally wriggling on these hooks together, like we're just lined up one after the other, because I'm here and I'm going, oh my goodness, Lord, I don't even know how to preach this passage because I don't have that love like you have. And Lord, I feel like I don't want to preach that anything that doesn't look like love is hate, because I'd like there to be a whole lot of gray in there so that I can be comfortable and okay. And it was a really, really difficult week for that. It was just wrestling through this passage was actually just really painful. And if you're experiencing that, man, I'm with you. But John would say that anything that doesn't look like light and love is darkness, and therefore hatred of our brothers and sisters. And so we need to recognize all of the forms that hatred actually comes in, because it doesn't come stamped with the big word hate. It comes wrapped in packaging that we find more palatable and acceptable, right? Bitterness, resentment, just sort of ongoing frustrations that we haven't dealt with, that kind of thing. Which is why a couple of weeks ago when Jane was up here sharing her story about having forgiven the people who abused her and then walking and continuing forgiveness for them, that's why that story was so powerful. Because it shows how seriously God takes unforgiveness. I mean, we're talking about essentially an expression of hatred and how much God actually cares that we deal with those things. And it shows how powerful forgiveness is. And I mean, don't forget how much joy she showed. And I'm still seeing it on her face every Thursday when she joins for prayer. It's fantastic. I think what I need to do now is pause for a second and just clarify what we mean by forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't forgetting. It's simply not possible to forget things. And it's also not excusing or minimizing the things that someone has done to you. Remember last week, remember the story that I told, where God in the end decides that we are both guilty and he does not hold it against us, and he pardons us. That forgiveness is, I no longer hold this against you. That's what forgiveness is. That's what it means to show love here. That's just one example of it. So let me summarize here, and we're going to get to groups again in just a minute because we're going to have time. So walking in the light means showing love, and walking in darkness is anything that is not showing love. And that's hatred as John defines it, whether it's bitterness or jealousy or anger or unforgiveness or, you know, all of those other negative things, right? But now maybe just before we get to the groups, we need to talk about what love is. What is love or what isn't love? Love is not, we're not talking about a feeling here. The feelings are great when they come, but God actually commands that we love. So love is, he's not commanding you to somehow create feelings. It's a command, it's a choice, it's an action, because that's what it is. God is looking for us to express love in action, to do something loving. So it's, and we see this in the scriptures, right? So, I mean, the scriptures will say, for example, let us love not in word only, but in action and in truth. God is looking for us to show love, to demonstrate love. That's what love is. Love your neighbor. And it's not just, Jesus doesn't mean go have warm, fuzzy feelings for your neighbor, because the way that he illustrates love your neighbor comes right after. And what's the story? It's the story of the Good Samaritan. That's what loving the neighbor looks like. So love one another isn't have warm, fuzzy feelings for everyone. It's show love. It's choose love. Now, I know that there are probably some objections coming to mind saying something like, so are you saying that our feelings aren't important or that God doesn't want us to have loving feelings? Well, no, of course not. But I'm saying that we can't let our feelings or our lack of feelings be an excuse for not showing and choosing and demonstrating love. So are you saying then that we should show love even when we don't feel it? Yes. But isn't that being inauthentic? I think John's response to that would be, are you placing authenticity at a higher value than what God says you're supposed to do, which is loving actions? And how would it be better to withhold loving actions until you get the feelings that you want? I think what God is asking of us is that we start with loving actions, even when we don't have those feelings. I think that's just sort of the expectation that we always act in loving ways, whether or not the feeling is there. And then we also ask for God to produce that, and maybe some of the actions will produce that, and so on. But I think he's actually after us demonstrating. And hopefully he will produce that in us. But that's actually where I'd like to leave you for a moment and let you ask the question in discussion groups. How do we grow in love? So I'm going to take it that we don't get off of, we don't get out of the commands. We don't get to not obey the command to love our neighbor, to love one another, if we don't have that feeling. But I want you to talk for a few minutes in your groups about how does that feeling grow? How do I grow in love so that it's easier to go and show love to those around me? So that's easier not just to love mankind, but to love individuals and the guy playing the harmonica. Okay, so take about 5 minutes, go into your groups again, and just come up with a few ideas. Just pass it around. How do you grow in love? What are some things that might help? No right or wrong answers. Enjoy your time talking to one another. We'll see you back in five. Okay, well, welcome back. I hope that the discussion was enjoyable and worthwhile and gets you starting to think about ways that we can be showing love and growing in it. Let me give you a few practical pieces of advice for showing love. So you guys were talking more about growing love. I want to talk a little bit more now about showing love. Sometimes there are a few barriers that get in the way of showing love. And as I've been reflecting on my own life, sometimes the barrier is actually me. It's not the other person. It's me. And so what needs to happen then is I need to confess sin, especially pride, because pride is the one thing that competes with everyone else. And so pride is probably, I would argue, that it's probably at the root of all of, at the bottom, sort of the root of all of those different forms of hate that we talked about. And it, as you confess pride, you will find that you grow in love. I think it's sort of like if you wanted a new couch, that old couch has to go before you have room for a new one. So if you want God to fill you with his love for other people, you might need to clear out some room, make room. Sometimes the barrier is actually not so much only in you, but it's sort of between you and someone else. And you need to have the conversation, the awkward conversation, that, because there's something there in between you. You got to clear the air.
Yeah, I think they did.
Awkward moment. Okay, we're going to continue. Sometimes it's asking for forgiveness, and we need to do that. We talked about withholding forgiveness, but sometimes we withhold our apology. Let's not do that. Okay. Now, how to demonstrate love, other ways. We need to ask God how we should be showing love to other people. Do you know the golden rule? We often misunderstand the golden rule. We teach our kids, don't do that to Jimmy because you wouldn't want Jimmy to do that to you. But that's not actually the golden rule. The golden rule is do to others what you'd want them to do to you. So if you would love for someone to show up at your house with dinner prepared, go do that for someone else. Show love in the ways that you want to receive love. Go out of your way to show love. And all you have to do is think about the ways you'd like to get it. You'd like to receive it. That's actually Jesus' command. It's not stop hitting Jimmy. It's show Jimmy love in all the ways that you want him to show you love. Be good friends. Like, learn what friendship is, and so on. Other pieces of advice. As we talked about, show love anyways. Whether or not you currently love your next door neighbor, rake their leaves this fall. Just go do it. And when the snow comes, give yourself an extra 10 minutes to get their part of the sidewalk cleared as well. Show love. I learned that from the plebs. You know, we can learn from one another. That's part of what this community should be all about. When Jesus says, love your enemies, do you remember what the next line is? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Pray more for the people who are struggling. I had a really proud parent moment this week where we've been talking to our kids around the dinner table about the kids that they were really struggling with in school because they don't know how to show. These kids they're just awkward. Sometimes they're mean, but it's like they don't have the social skills yet. And so I once saw a sign on a kindergarten door that said, the children who need love the most ask for it in the most unloving ways. And so we're trying to talk to our kids about, you know, when these kids behave this way around you, it's actually because they want to be your friend, but they don't know how. And so when we've been having some of our prayer times together, I've been encouraging them to pray for those friends. And at first the prayers were, Lord, will you fix so-and-so so that they stop doing this? And so we just took some more conversation, said that's good. I'm glad you're starting to pray for your friend because they do need to learn not to hit people with sticks, right? That's basic. But let's also pray that God change our hearts towards these people. And a really proud parent moment where just out of the blue in one of our prayer times, a couple days later, one of the boys is praying both that the behaviors in that person change and that God would teach him to be a good friend. And that's what we should be doing. Now it's so much easier to tell your kids to do it than it is to do it yourself, right? So I'm learning from my kids, but these are the things that we can learn to practice together. So love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Lastly, I'm sure you guys talked about this in your groups. Ask God to produce love in you. Would you please do unity a favor and ask God to pour out his love on our congregation for one another and for our neighborhood? Would you make that a regular prayer? Because love is both an action, but it's also a fruit that is produced by the Spirit. In other words, we can't just leave it up to the Spirit, and we can't just go do it all on our own. We're going to need both. And so would you pray that regularly for us? Pray it for yourself, but pray it for us as a congregation so that we would learn to show love to one another and to our neighbors. Let's pray. Lord, as I've confessed this morning, I come to a passage like this and I just feel so convicted. I guess I, along with probably others this morning, are just here recognizing that we have poverty of spirit when it comes to love. We need you to grow us in your love, in love for you, in love for one another, in love for our neighborhood, our neighbors, and our coworkers. Because, Lord, I have just spent so much time rewriting that word hate to make it more palatable on my lips and to be able to excuse myself for more. And I come to this and it's so stark. And so, Lord, I confess that. And at the same time, I come to this recognizing that John is here to encourage us, that we are to walk as Jesus walked and to follow in his footsteps and to do the things that he did with the heart that he had. And so, Lord, we're going to need both. We're going to need you to train us to walk as Jesus walked, and we're going to need you to put Jesus' heart into us. And then when that happens, look out, neighborhood. Lord, I can't wait for that. I think you're doing that now, and I'm praying for that for us. Would you pour out your love on us? would you make us people who receive so much love from you and return so much love to you that every other person we meet becomes another opportunity to worship and love you by showing them love? And would you make that something that has so changed inside of us that those responses become reflexive, that it becomes an automatic reaction in us to show someone else love because of how much we love you? Would you do that for us? Because we're not going to get there on our own. We're really not. But we can do all things through Christ. And Lord, I'm remembering that scripture that you've been impressing on me over and over again this week, that we have not received a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and a spirit of love and a spirit of self-control. So Lord, would you give us the power to show love and work it out under our control in all of the ways that are within our control? Lord, would you do these things for us? Would you give us new opportunities? And may we see these new opportunities as tests, as a time to put you to the test in the right way, where you actually activate these things in us, and a time for us to learn to walk in Jesus' steps. Lord, make us more like you. In your name, amen.